Toy Power Podcast is a free podcast made possible by the support of our awesome Patreon sponsors. Head to toypowerpodcast.com and see how you can help.
Oh yeah, this is power.
Hello and welcome to Toy Power, the podcast where we talk toys and everything pop culture. G'day, Trent here, and it is fantastic to have your company today for episode 309. Today on the show, we're getting into some of the latest news, and there is some very, very exciting things. Some things are not jokes, so we'll go through it.
Not jokes. Just toys, no jokes.
That's right. And then we're going to do a recap on the wonderful Adelaide Comic and Toy Fair put on by Brett Owen, another stellar year in the making. It was fantastic, and we'll go through a bit of the deets on that, some of the pickups. There may be some, it's a bit of Hunters and Collectors playing there in the background. Frank, if you can cue that up.
I was meant to cue that up. Oh, wonderful music.
We can post. Post is a good thing.
Yeah,
we can post. Do that.
It'll be there. Today, who have we got? We got Ben.
G'day.
We got Frank.
Hello, hello.
We got Scotty.
That's me. Hello there.
And it's super exciting. Oh, actually, this first bit of news, we'll play some music in a minute to cue this segment, but April Fool's Day,
yeah.
You could be mistaken for thinking this is an April Fool's joke.
I definitely thought it was an April Fool's joke.
All right. Should we cue it in?
Let's do it.
3, 2, 1.
Cue music.
So what have you got for me?
I'm Batman.
But she's got a new hat.
Who put the run sheet together?
I put most of it together. Yeah.
This is McFinale Toys. Fantastic. This is Todd.
There's no spell check in Excel, all right?
Actually, I misspell stuff all the time, and we just gloss over it, but I couldn't help myself with that one because that's
the first word up there. McGnarly.
Superpowers. This is super exciting because Todd is dabbling back in superpowers.
Yep.
We've got two waves of the figures. We've got, three vehicles, including that retro punching Superman vehicle.
Yeah, yeah,
we've got almost like a Keaton-style Bat wing,
yes,
bat wing, my so friend, cool. in the blue.
Yep.
Colors.
Yep. Single pilot.
There was another one, wasn't there? Was there another vehicle? Something else? I don't know. Maybe that's it. But we're getting more vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
Are we really vehicles, though?
Well, it's debatable.
All I can see is Wonder Woman and a sky behind her. Floating, what are we looking at?
Floating in mid-air. Well, it's often the joke of the toy collecting world, isn't it? Like an invisible jet. Oh, you know, let's just put air in a package.
Yeah.
And did Hot Wheels do
one? I believe they did it because I remember in 2010 when I was over there, I was looking at a Hot Wheels card with nothing in it. It
with
was
a
just air with a bubble. And it was.
Can they honestly sell that? That's
well, like, I think it was selling, one of those.
It's like selling an empty bottle of wine and charging full price for it, right?
I don't think
it's a gag.
I don't think they charged for it. Yeah, I think it was just sort of a door prize, thing.
Yeah, okay.
The giveaways and things. But I remember seeing it and be like, that's cool. Not a respect. So, because it was the 50th year or 75th year of DC or something while I was over there.
Yeah.
So, it was a lot of focus on the DC property.
Well, they're doing one. They're doing one for real to fit in with the 4-inch figures.
Mm-hmm.
Looks very, it's cartoony in a way. It's very kind of like the wings. I mean, it wouldn't really fly in the real world, but
proportions
that's okay.
It's got the giant sort of dome bubble enough to fit the figure in there, so it's certainly not streamlined like you would have a traditional jet, but for the aesthetic of the superpowers, I think
it works.
I can't speak to how accurate that was. There ever an original in superpowers?
No. We had Wonder Woman, that was it. Not many of the...
She flew around that in the TV show.
In the Super Friends.
Super Friends.
Maybe it references that. But yeah, it looks good of the bits of it we can see. Yeah.
But also, I'd like to hone in on the fact that because we can see through this jet, That doesn't look like the original release Wonder Woman that we got. That looks like a different paint apps.
Right.
There's not much blue on her. It's quite, you know, predominantly gold and red. So I think whilst McFarlane is teasing, hey, look, check out this invisible jet, a lot of keen eyes, including myself, have been like, hang on a second, there's more to this advertisement than just the jet. So, and I think this is what, Wave 4? That they're sort of teasing with this. And on to our next segment as well. And this is even more exciting.
Oh, yeah.
This is, of course, the Batmobile. And this is straight up and down a respect homage sort of 70s Batmobile mixed in with the Superpowers Batmobile, giving it more of a Batman head motif at the front and things.
Yeah. Yep.
Huge wings at the back and things that the original didn't really have. It's sort of, and it's still got the orange windscreen and things, but no rear orange windscreen. And it sort of fades from blue, like a deep blue, to black, which I think is amazing.
It's those original colours, really, isn't it?
And it comes with the wheels and things with the Batman logo on the each wheel hubcap, which is awesome. But then again, if you zoom in and look at the characters.
Oh, wow, you're right.
That Batman is straight off the TV screen from Super Friends, because he's got the black cowl above, and he's definitely got the blue outfit on, the blue and grey outfit.
Blue and grey.
Absolutely fantastic. And no doubt that is Tim Drake, Robin, I believe.
It's a Tim Drake.
So that's going to be really exciting. And again, I think this is all building up for this new Wave 4 of superpowers from McFarlane, you know, and they're just advertising the vehicles, but you know, take a second look at the characters inside.
What do you we didn't get a lot of details on this vehicle, but do you reckon the bat head at the front is like a missile launch?
Honestly, there won't be any super. There won't be any action features.
You don't reckon?
Because I believe this is going to be kept at the $20 USD price point. Super affordable.
Just make it super cheap.
And there'll be no action features. I'd love to see action features, but you'd therefore need to see an increase in price.
Yeah,
and I think you'll move more units at a cheaper price than, and you will with an action feature, you press once, how cool is this, and never play with it again.
He's been pretty good though, like the new Keaton 89 Batmobile. I saw a video actually, he was watching Robo on the Fush trying to, he was prying it open with the screwdriver, and then like in the comments, he was doing a live stream. In the comments, someone said, "You know, there's a button at the front," and then there was a button, and cha-ching, it unlocks, and away it goes. So I think like they've all had kind of canopy opening features, and I think the Superman Punchy Punchy had the kind of punching.
The actual fist.
Was it Punchy Punchy? Mr. Punchy Punchy.
I will be surprised if there's action features. But I won't be surprised if there's not. I'd prefer to hear a clicking sound when you move the car along, just like the original one did.
That's probably easy to do.
But I think keeping the price point down, keeping it super affordable, keeping it, you know, there's no one else making these vehicles at that price.
So good.
And, you know, I pay huge respect. I just hope the line becomes more available in Australia.
Well, on that note, and I mean, I know this wave one and two have been out for a while now. I feel like around 6 months that we've had them in hand. Mm. I walked into our city Toy World about a week ago, and there was wave one and two in all its entirety. They even had a Batwing on the shelves. And it was, they were $20 Australian, which again, I think is pretty affordable. Mm. Toy World prices are a little bit more than your big box retailers here in Australia. So this would probably be a $15 figure at Kmart.
Yep.
So that was nice to see, because there were heaps of them. They had an end cap and they were all there. And then Robbie went into my room and banged up my Batman Who Laughs card. So I might I might crack that one open and buy a second one. But yeah, I know it would be lovely to see more of these.
Did you get
the
crowbar out and teach him a lesson? Or,
no, nothing like that. Nothing like that. So very cool. Super excited about that. What have we got here? Another variant?
Another gargoyle. This is from our friends at NECA. So this is part of their Gargoyles range. This is ultimate version of Goliath. And this one is apparently based on the video game. Hands up, how many people knew Gargoyles had a video game?
Nope.
Nope.
familiar with the show, familiar yeah. with, you know, the original IP, did not know and had a video game. So it's along the lines of some of their other video game releases where you get the sort of two-tone sort of paint effect on it to sort of indicate shading as it was done back in the pixelated days. But, yeah, so it's like the Goliath figure we're used to. It comes with that huge wingspan. So it's very much a grey motif sort of wash on him to obviously that's how he was coloured in the game. Yeah, so big 8-inch figure, 16-inch wingspan on the damn thing. Yeah, I'm not sure if this is any sort of exclusive or whatever. Was
it,
but
one thing I do know about this figure is that it comes with the wrapping around wings.
Okay.
So like you know, it's got the, both versions. Sort of the cape.
Yep.
And I suppose the reason is they know that this isn't going to sell as well
as repaint the, at the end of the day. Yeah, yeah,
as the original. And they've already tooled all these pieces.
Yep.
So it's, and this is very, you know, you could almost say this is him as his Gargoyle Rock.
Yep.
Version is standing in there when it's daylight. So I think it's a cool variation. And I like all the extra bits they've added in because he is essentially an Ultimates figure with all those. And I'd have to, if I was a guessing man, I'd have to say Sega put this one out because going by the packaging that NECA had.
Yeah, good call. 100%.
Yep.
Definitely now, got that look.
Yeah, the box is essentially like a game
cartridge
kind of cover.
Remember when you used to physically buy games?
Yes, exactly.
Doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah. Hey, for NECA, the other thing they were doing in April was this April takes over April kind of concept. So there are a lot of April reveals. And one of the things probably fans really wanted was an updated version of the cartoon April. I think that one suffered from a few QC kind of issues.
I think it was hard scale. To find.
The scale, there was the availability, but the scale in particular. If you remember the cartoon, April stands, you know, a bit like Shredder, like a you know, a good, you know, from the shoulders up, taller than the Turtles.
Yeah.
The figure we got is, you know, barely half a head taller than her. So I believe looking at the photos of this one and compared to what we got, they've sort of retooled the legs a little bit to make her taller. And a bit more cartoon accurate. The head sculpt of the original one never really quite hit the mark.
Also, the head sculpt in the original one is very bobblehead. It's almost disproportionately large.
The head is
compared to her petite large, body. Yeah.
So they've sort of rescaled things a little bit. There looks like a lot of accessories we've seen in some other sets. They've sort of done a bit of a best of with April's got more hands than Super 7's Ultimates figures, and that's saying something.
Yep.
She's got three heads there. She's got a smiling head, one where she's kidnapped because she's got a blindfold on, the usual array of news cameras and microphones and stuff. Yeah, this is as much as, you know, I've already got an April figure. If you want that real accuracy, this is gonna tempt some people for sure.
Yeah. I think I could have a second April quite easily. Put her in one of the party wagons that I'm gonna have soon. I could have one April in
plural.
Each. So I think it's a good move. Funnily enough, as well, this is 100 figures, 100 cartoon figures.
Wow.
Oh, number wise. Wow. Is that right? This is their 100th TMNT cartoon action figure.
Jeez.
That's a lot of figures.
That's not bad. When you think about the original Turtles line, it's about 300.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
So I was gonna say they've done well, haven't they?
Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
And I guess if you go, you know, you got the four Turtles, you get, you know, four Turtles and then you do them in a different color variation. Yeah, then you do them with the trench coats. You build up pretty quickly and then you go baby Turtles. But it's a lot of figures. I don't feel like I've got them all because I certainly don't have 100 cartoon figures.
On the flip side, there's only like eight or so of the Toon Turtles as well. There's four Turtles, Shredder, Irma.
Vernon.
Yeah. Oh, so there's more than eight.
Nine, I think. Yes. And then you get like one of the neutrinos, don't you?
Yes, that's good. All three of them. Yeah, eventually, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think you're right.
But to get to 100, like from NECA, that's amazing. Mm. Well done.
Yeah. No, very cool.
Hey, one of those accessories there with April looks like an alien's chest burst. Yeah. What's that all about?
It's the meatball monster or the pizza meatball monster or something. I've got three of them, so if anyone, you know, doesn't want it, I'm comfortable to army build them. They're all the same color, so they're all that orange things, and that's what becomes the yellow pizza monster. They grow up into those big alien looking versions. But I've got them in my Kenner toy line display. I've got two of them sitting behind the Kenner aliens because they're amazing figures.
The genesis was the cartoon.
Yes.
Yep.
And it was inspired, obviously, by aliens.
in terms of their design.
And they were in the video game as well.
Yeah.
But they've got the big difference is they've got actual pupils' eyes, whereas regular xenomorphs don't have eyes. So
yeah,
and they're yellow.
That's how they got around the copyright.
Probably.
Give them eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Then they can't sue us.
Technically, you can't copyright an alien. You know,
yeah, but I mean, like the design. The
design.
Of it,
true.
Like,
true. Yeah. I mean, but then you could say they've got little Shop of Horrors there.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, yeah. The little flower, you know, alien thing.
Mm.
So,
very good.
Almost sorry I asked that question.
You weren't.
That was making a funny joke, wasn't it?
The 2-minute passionate dialogue from Ben in response. It was like fantastic. Something I was not expecting was the next April we got, which was the Judith Hogue movie April, but in the yellow cartoon jumpsuit. What are our thoughts on this? Who's the guy? Is it a guy from the Fush smiling?
I think
away?
It's the Necker.
That's one of the Necker guys.
That's one of the Necker guys. Look how chuffed he is chatting with Judith. She's got one as well. She's holding one up there.
Yeah, I think part of their April and April thing was having Judith Hogue sort of take over their social media accounts and all that sort of stuff.
They probably learned from Toy Power when we did April and April.
Yeah, that's right.
Years ago.
Yeah, 5 years ago. Right?
I don't know how to feel about this figure because, look, the face likeness stuff, because this is based on the movie and Judith Hogue herself, great. In the movie, for those that don't know it, she wears a yellow sort of raincoat at one point.
Yeah.
And that's the movie's little tip of the hat to the cartoon. She never actually wears this costume in any live screen, you know, iteration of her. So I'm just like, I think it's probably an easy skip for a lot of people, to be honest.
Yeah. Like I don't need this one. But yep. I've got the versions of April I need, but something appealing about it. Cause it's that yellow jumpsuit. It's so weird, but yeah, no. When I first saw this, I'm like, I saw the cartoon one. I'm like, sweet, they fixed that up. Good on them. Mm. I saw this. I'm like, oh, that's a bit, I don't know what that's doing. I don't know why I need that.
Where does that belong?
So, but cool. Like, very, very, you know.
Maybe they're trying to get to 100 movie figures.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Watch this space. All right. And speaking of space, what are we going to do with this amazing box art from Origin Snake Mountain? Marcy Universe, of course, have released the artwork for the Snake Mountain box, and it is phenomenal.
So good.
I am blown away. Like, they get the best artists, and they just, you know, depict so many characters and things. And the exciting thing with this is they've got a lot of the Wave 7 of the original on the, what was it? Help me out here.
Oh, the Errol McCarthy card backs. Yeah, so unreleased.
Yeah, so they've got a lot of those characters. A lot of snake men fighting amongst the evil warriors, you know.
It's sort of a three-way battle, isn't it? Because you've got a few heroic warriors in there.
Yep.
Snake men are featuring, and then Skeletor in his. Is it Dragon Blaster at the top there? It's very cool.
Yeah,
you know, I always wonder on these ones, on Snake Mountain, who that poor sucker's going to be that's in the chains. And it's Manny Faces. He got he drew the short stick, and I think Buzzoff's coming in to try and rescue him. I think, as you referred, Ben, Terror, he's one of those Errol McCarthy. He's sort of the Whiplash on a Rattlaw body.
Cobra Khan or Camo Khan?
I reckon it's Camo, but one of
with the
two.
Flared head, hood. Yep.
It's super cool. I love this. And then that guy, I can't think of his name, but
it's got Clawful's yellow claw.
He was done he was an Errol McCarthy.
Is that Grasp?
Lord Grasp. Yes, you're right. Spot on. And he's got the squeeze head. He's cool too. But Terror's just kind of like roaring off into the great expanse.
Yep.
Just showing off his action feature. It's
Look
fantastic.
At me yell.
One of the things I've seen to do with the playset itself actually is the sort of the pool of mass of blob or water, you know, swamp has got the monsters coming out of it. And that's like a 3D little piece.
Yep.
And you can take, so obviously it's got little holes in it to put the monsters because they're coming up from the waist up to depict that they're the other half of their bodies under the swamp water.
Right.
So you can take one of them off and plug your, they've got depicted many faces there and they've flipped around his regular human head.
Yep.
And he looks like he's screaming. Like, So they've got him from the torso up, you know, sort of hobbling, running away from the swamp monster. And it just, that depiction of them both in this, you know, murky water looks amazing.
And all it is popping the legs off.
Yeah, or because they look like they're submerged in the green swamp water. Just brilliance, you know. So well done for that sort of thought. And I think that's one of the promo images getting shared around. And it just the excitement is quite, you know, high. So
very good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That is super exciting.
Hey, speaking of exciting, who's after some more Last Ronin figures?
I'd love some more Last
Ronin
figures.
Would you like Karai from the Last Ronin?
I'd love Karai. Can I take a look at some pics?
If you so dare.
Oh, my God. Someone from Aerosmith is doubling as Karai.
Is that a Bruce Campbell cosplay?
Someone from Aerosmith. That's the best.
I want to make it go away, please. I don't like looking at it. It's making me feel weird.
So for those at home, imagine, close your eyes and think of Elektra from Daredevil. So, you know, beautiful red and sort of darkish outfit, very ninja-esque, got that little red cap on and a sword and things. But the face, what the hell is going on there? It looks very masculine.
Very, very. I mean, super masculine.
Yeah, and it just throws the whole aesthetics of the figure out the window.
Dude, I'm looking at it for the first time. Oh, wow. Yeah.
And it's definitely a female because there's quite large, you know.
Female parts.
Yeah, yeah. On the upper torso. So.
Yeah, it's considering NECA are known for their accurate, like this isn't accurate to the comic, is it?
Maybe for the Last Ronin comic.
Yeah, possibly she has a more, you know.
I don't know.
Kind of,
I don't know.
Masculine style face.
It could just be the way they've drawn in shadows and things. But man,
you're giving it a benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, make it a bit more pretty. Like this is, not cool. Not a fan.
Well, in fact, they've done. There's two shots here that we're looking at. One, and there clearly are two heads. There's one with the closed mouth and one with like a more screaming mouth. But both heads are equally. They're terrible. What is it, Ramen Toy, that every time, you know, something goes wrong with a Masterverse head they put out, you know, here's
what the fans actually want.
Your Rat King head. Mm. Surely someone's got to, I mean, it should be NECA that's fixing this up. I honestly don't know how they could have put that out.
The only thing I would say, I'm just bringing up now, I just did a quick Google. This is Karai as she appears in the comic. Now, it's not.
I know what you're saying.
She still looks a lot more feminine in those images than she does in 3D form on the picture.
I agree with you, Ben. I think, look, they're certainly looking at that style. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't gone for like your classically, you know, gorgeous you know, female sort of villain thing. I think a lot of, you know, other iterations of Karai, she's, you know, very sort of, you know, classically beautiful, even Asian features and stuff. But this, in this comic, maybe that is accurate. And maybe, you know, I don't think the photography is helping it, to be honest.
But is the head too big or something? It looks off.
It does seem off, doesn't it?
It looks like Sarah Jessica Parker. Let's be honest.
Jesus.
I still like the Aerosmith one. That's my favorite. I can just see her, you know, rocking out.
But
don't
want to miss a There's a shot. Go down there. That Destroy the Beast shot. There, bottom left-hand corner, like down one. Oh,
yeah.
One. Yeah. I mean, that is similar to the open mouth, but the Nah. I reckon they've missed a trick.
It doesn't.
They've missed a trick here.
Well, look, it's a massively easy pass without even thinking about it for me.
Yes. Anyway.
All right. What else have we got here? This is interesting. Have we touched on this?
No.
This has been out there a little while, but then because of the way our recordings and stuff worked, we haven't spoken to this, but this is hands down, we're talking Super 7, we're talking Ultimates, we're talking Simpsons, best wave ever.
Best wave for me. Yeah. For me it is.
most get, OG wave.
Well,
anyway.
Yeah, you get Marge, Lisa, and groundskeeper Willie.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is that to me is a perfect wave selection.
Yep. And then it's not Marge in space; it's classic Marge.
It's Marge and classic Lisa. And classic. Like, yeah.
It's yeah. not it's, Malibu Stacy with a hat on. It's just Malibu Stacy.
Yeah.
And is it Snowball?
Snowball 2 yeah. right. and yeah. Maggie in the shot. Like, that is classic because that's, yeah.
yep.
That's opening credits.
That's, yeah, that's yeah. intro.
It's yep. fantastic.
Yep.
Yep.
Now, this see, if they'd done this for Wave 1, I think I would have gone in on this line.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm too late now. I yep. probably...
You give us a classic Homer in that I first mean, maybe. We've got two versions of Homer, and none of them are just Homer as you picture him in
no,
your mind.
Like, no, that's right. Yeah. And they look great. Look, I think these are the best versions of Simpsons figures we've got, in my opinion, to date, because Playmates have done them. I think McFarlane had a go around the time of the movie. Mattel obviously did the original ones.
Sure.
These, they look flawless. Like, they look really good. I'm sure Marge comes with a couple of different heads.
Yeah. All we're looking at is this is on the front cover of the upcoming issue of the Toy Collector magazine, issue 5.
Yep.
And, yeah, so it's not even traditionally how Super 7 have their full, you know, the layout pictures yep. reveals. So we can't really confirm what accessories they come with. But, yeah, I think these look really, really nice. And they the do. Scale's right with between Lisa and Marge and Maggie. Like, yeah, wonderful.
Yeah, very, very exciting. Another bit of exciting news is from Dark Horse. I thought they were done kind of with yeah. these artwork books or these character guides, toy guides. But Origin now has been going for probably 3-ish years and they've accumulated enough art to fill.
And Masterverse.
And Masterverse, yeah, yep. to it, fill another book.
It feels too soon.
Does feel it too does. Soon, because doesn't it?
Neither of those lines are done, despite what certain celebrities on the internet might tell you.
Yeah.
They're still going. So, I mean, I feel like, you're going to get this and then, you know, Origins and Masterverse, say, continue on for another 2 years.
Well, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Then you're going to get an addendum to, yeah. or,
part
to the
two?
Book.
Well, yeah. where's it? Is Eternia going to be in this?
That's what I was going to say. I don't think Eternia is, or that might be the big reveal. You know, this is the artwork for Eternia. You know, if this comes out in a year's time, surely they're, give them time.
But
to.
Even in a year, I think to your point, Frank, there's still going to be more that comes
be,
after. So it's going to be, whichever way you look at it, it's going to be incomplete.
Yep.
So yeah. bit of a weird choice, yeah, I think, in terms of timing. But look, Ben, you said it. The art is phenomenal. Yep. And we've got card back art. We've got all the box art that's been done for the vehicles. I think even those, like the Attorney and Guard, where they're in the sort of old school style box, window
yes,
box.
Yes, yep.
They all have specialized artwork.
Yep.
There's all the little art on the deluxe figures. Well, there's plenty out there.
Yeah.
What I got for my Camo Khan for the Origins, that belongs in a book.
Right.
Like, that is just true high-end art.
There's certainly enough stuff to put in there. The completest image just goes, I feel like I'm getting half a product.
This and volume one of how many
exactly.
volumes?
Must be. Okay. Well, that's cool. And some final bit of news, something I didn't think we were going to see. A company crossover, Hasbro and Mattel, is starting to share IP.
Yep.
Which is interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
I think
indeed.
This is, from the reading I've done, this is on the back of course, the big new Barbie movies coming out. And, of course, Hasbro doing yet another Transformers movie, because why not? And basically, they're sort of initially, anyway, it's so that Barbie can get a Monopoly game.
Right.
But then the Transformers can also get Hot Wheels.
Yeah.
So it's those big crossover points that the other has never been able to play in that space with because the other company owns it. And they've sort of gone, look, you've got a big IP like Barbie. We've got Transformers. Let's crossover. And I think they've literally said, this is what it's going to be initially. It's those two things. But then they've said, look, if this goes well, who knows?
So I like that.
You could be looking at anything you know that Mattel do and Hasbro do, cross them over, whether it's sort of figure styles. I mean, the sky's the limit. And I think the likes of the McFarlane, Super 7 and these sorts of companies would be pretty scared by this, because if that goes well, you've got the two biggest toy companies in the world who are now friends.
Sharing IP, sharing
designs and ideas and money and all this sorts of stuff that could be, huge. Well, I think as a consumer, it's a win. But from a competitor's point of view, they'd be like, yikes.
Sorry, go on.
No, you're right.
So it's really exciting for me to hear that Hot Wheels, you know, Transformers is going to be in Hot Wheels. Imagine
makes perfect sense,
options. Like, I'd love to go and pick, you know, Optimus Prime in a, you know, Hot Wheels sized packet and things and have him next to my G1. Yeah. You know, like, it'll almost be proportional. But then, you know, you think about G.I. Joe, all the vehicles and things as Hot Wheels toys. Like, oh,
yeah.
You know, you could even bring all the X-Men characters. You know, I know they've got the jet and things in Hot Wheels, but you could go, you know, bring all the comic book licenses and things in there. It's quite exciting. What has Hasbro got that Mattel doesn't? You know, what's the vice versa?
I feel like overall Hasbro have more access to IPs as far as some of the bigger stuff that Mattel, you know, they might have had it at one stage, but, you know, you could imagine, instead of like G.I. Joe, Transformers are probably the big two, and Mattel will just be like, oh, we want to do that. We want to play with it in those spaces. And it might be something simple like, here's a Uno game featuring, you know, Transformers or G.I. Joe characters, but this is,
That's cool.
Oh, the sky's the limit with this. You know, they've mentioned, you know, G.I. Joe Hot Wheels figures. It's going to be interesting because they're starting with the movie stuff, and then if that goes well, then they go, all right, here's your G1 Optimus Prime in Hot Wheels scale. Imagine a whole line of that.
Yep.
That would be nuts.
Very good. All right, we're going to move into our next segment.
Whoa, dude, nice score.
All right, so Sunday, April 23rd was the Adelaide Comic and Toy Fair, the wonderful show put on by Brett Owen, and it was a cracker again.
Oh, amazing show.
And I think for me, you know, like I judge kind of, you know, how many people are lining up, how long is the line, like, you know, how massive.
Where our stall is positioned, it's basically the last bit of the line as people are in the foyer, basically, and they just come around the corner. So
Glass windows, we can see straight out into the foyer.
That's right. So we got a pretty good idea of how long the line people are lining up for, and it wasn't until sort of 1:30, nearly 2 o'clock by the time the line was gone and you could walk in. So, yeah.
And it felt, I think this was, it felt, it had the most hype and buzz for the longest, because there's been a few times where, you know, that last couple of hours is a bit slow, but this kind of felt like it went the whole way through, which was great. What were our thoughts? How did you go? Like, we had probably 8 tables or something.
Yeah, we added a few of our own and things, which is all good. But the general vibe of the day, like, let's just paint a picture. It was cracker weather. Like, you couldn't have asked for better weather.
Yep.
So that gets people out of the house. Yeah. And, you know, instead of it's pouring rain, I can't be stuffed. It was beautiful weather, and it was held right in the middle of the school holidays. So people are looking for things to do, and there were a lot of families that came down, which is absolutely fantastic. So as we hinted to, we sold all – we had a spot we've had for a few years, and we all sold on tables and things, some of our own collection for once, which was fantastic. And we all did unanimously pretty well. It was fantastic and all. And some of us better than others. and we all brought something home, which was exciting. And just, I think you said, Frank, you feel guilty selling to the sellers, you know, the dealers and things before the
opening. Doors had opened. And it was even during the setup, like bumping on the Saturday before. I did an obscene amount of transactions before, and I'm like, the public hasn't even had a shot at this. Like, I don't want to say all the good stuff's gone, because that was not true, but like some of the items where I just went, oh, this is you know, going to draw some interest, and it a lot of it went before that time. And but, you know, conversely, that's if you're organized enough to, you know, book it in with Brett and you have a table, that's one of the advantages, really.
100%. So, couldn't agree more.
Yeah, really, really good fun. So did we see anything, and we'll talk later scores in a second, but did we see anything that we all sort of looked at and went, oh, gee, I'd really love that, but we didn't quite pull the trigger on?
I was pretty surprised to see not only a Dino Riders Brontosaurus,
yes,
but the box, yep, as well. Yep. That was amazing. That was amazing. Like, I had to go. Someone told me that it was there, and I'm like, oh my God, have I not seen that? Have I had my blinkers on the whole day looking in dump bins and things or something, not looking up high enough? And surely enough, there it was. It was
a bit tatty.
Of course it was tatty and things, and it was a little bit expensive for what condition it was in. But the principle of seeing it there, I was able to pick up a few Dino Riders from the same seller, and I think that, and aside from the one that I sold, the Triceratops that I had on my table, I think that was the only Dino Riders
I had a couple of just, not junkers, but loose, no armor, pretty much.
Yes.
But yeah, they're limited.
Yeah.
That era of toys is starting. You know, it's starting to show. You wouldn't have seen any Battle Beasts.
Like, no, I was scouring for them as well. Yeah.
There are things you just don't see here in Adelaide because you know they're in collections. There's not a lot, and there are a few people coming around asking Dino for Riders in particular
things. Yeah. But what, another thing that we did see, which was remarkable, and that was sort of when they were still setting up, is the Star Wars Endor playset and Death Star playset.
That's right.
And to the extent that he even had the garbage for the, and that's just foam, but even the little foam pieces for the garbage compactor.
The trash compactor
for the Star Wars Death Star. That stuff is like, wow, that is toy history right there.
Yep.
And it's physically in the same presence I am. That's quite exciting to just lay your, you know, in real time to see personally. So that was pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, I kind of take this, I don't know, morbid fascination about what's not selling. So what are the things people bring that just have no interest? Like that's a fascination for me to, and it's a bit hard to tell because you don't know what's being picked, but so, you know, what is the era of toys or what do people have that they're putting out and maybe they're overpricing?
Yeah.
I've obviously got a lot of mint on card figures, and Frank had, you had a lot of my carded Marvel Legends.
Yes.
So you know, they were displayed here, and when you decide to clear out your Legends, you're like, oh, you know, here are your carded figures back. Yep. So I sort of got them back, and I got a lot of the X-Men. I got a lot of love for that. But when I got home, I'm like, what am I going to sell at the fair? And I'm like, well, this stuff's just packed
up. It's already packed in a box, ready to go.
I might as well get rid of it. So I took that along, and what I tend to find, and clearly there was a lot of interest in Legends, and I've got a lot of obscure Legends that are hard to get.
Yep.
I had a Scarlet Spider on the retro card. He's sort of in that $200 range. Yep. He actually sold. But what I find is there's sort of this era of carded modern-ish toys that unless you really discount them, they're just going to sit. You're not going to sell them. I'll give you an example. Like I had a complete wave of Battlestar Galactica toys by Diamond Select that I'd collected because I love the show. Mm. I love the new, the modern, you know, early 2000s.
What sort of year would we be talking?
I reckon early 2000s.
Yep.
So is that when the show came out? Maybe
2003 to 07, I believe, was the run.
Somewhere around there. Yeah, yep. Okay. And I sort of did a bit of rough price checking, and they were sort of in the US probably going for between $20 and $40, something like that.
Yep.
And I probably paid by the time, and then mine were all absolutely immaculate, like carded, not no shelfware, pristine, personal collection. And I just go, look, $25. I'll put $25 on them. And of course, that was the extent. I didn't think, oh, you know, the Starbuck will actually be quite
worth more
valuable because that's Katie Sackhoff and everyone wants Katie. So everyone was like, where's the Starbuck? Where's the Starbuck? I want to get Katie Sackhoff to stay. And the very first person, you know, bought obviously the Starbuck for $25. But at the end of the day, like there was a lady that bought the Starbuck that
was
kept
that,
coming back.
Tara, what's the name? Tara Podcast?
I believe so.
Oh, Jen.
Jen, yeah.
Yep, from TerraVision.
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 Yeah.
She was lovely anyway. She always has a smile on her face. She was, but she kept coming back and, oh, buy a couple more. And it got to the point where I just had like five left.
Yep.
And I'm like, just take them for $40. You know, just get, what's the point of me having five left? So when you're prepared to let that sort of, that ilk of thing that not everyone's after Battlestar, you know, probably only a couple of people in the room that would have wanted that, you're not going to get top dollar. And I think a lot of people there have this ilk of toys
yep.
that they're trying to get top dollar for. That are kind of, they're not vintage,
mm.
but they're out of circulation. You can't walk into a store and get them. But people aren't really looking for them. Yeah. So, you know, you're only going to move them if you sell them. And I had the other example I had is I had the Heroes figures from the Heroes TV yes. show by Mezco. Yep. Again, love the show. And it's just like, well, what am I going to do with them now?
Who's going to want that?
Yeah. So I had them. And I had like the Hiro Nakamura exclusive that I'd got, you know, from overseas and all this sort of stuff. And I just had, I think, I don't know, 6 figures or 8 figures or whatever. And I had them priced at like, you know, $30 a figure. Mm-hmm. And a guy came up and had 3 and he worked out, okay, I'll get these 3 for $90. And he handed me $100 and I said, look, do you want all 6 just for $100? Yeah, for the extra 10, yeah. take the other 3, move on. They're gone. Then I don't have three remaining. And he's happy. I got rid of them. Yeah. So that's what I found. Yeah, like, if exactly. you're kind of happy to move it on at a yep. good price, things will go.
Yep.
But like I knew, like I had Marvel Legends. I know the value, and I kind of discounted it by maybe like 25% off
yep.
what the value is. Get a bargain, take it away, and off you go. But people really wanted, you know, another 20, 30 bucks off the top of that to move. Yeah, and I'm like, well, I'm just going to chuck this on eBay and I'll get that.
You'll get
the
more
full price, that. Right? Yeah, so absolutely. A bit of extra effort, but I'll realize it. So that's sort of what I've got this morbid fascination with what are the things that are sort of stagnating there. So anyway, it was a good little... insight into what
I
was
think
going on.
This round as well, I noticed a lot more video games, a lot more people popping up. They've obviously seen what was selling last time or seen an interest in video games. So a lot this time around, a lot more people brought their dusted off their collection or, you know, what they had hoarded or something and brought it in, and video games was a lot bigger presence than I've ever seen before. And that was awesome. I really liked that. My girls were there and they helped, you know, I say that helped in full air quotation marks.
They're really good at scurrying under the table.
Yeah, playing and things. But someone had a 3D maker machine thing and they were selling dragons.
They were
and
cool.
Little, you know, cutesy characters and things like that, lizards and whatever else. And they kept going back to that table and buying all their stuff. And the coolest thing was is... this 3D artist had printed them and things and then cracked them, and the snakes and serpents and things were actually articulated.
Yes.
But still all one piece. And they just thought that was the bee's knees. And, you know, credit where credit's due for Brett, he gets a lot of the local Adelaide artists and things like that. So they were selling stickers and books and things like that.
Yep.
And, you know, my wife and that made a big conscious effort to go and see them and things. And so they came home with books and stickers and all that stuff as well, which was
nice.
Fantastic and kept them happy and kept them quite interested for the remainder of the school holidays, you know, with all their little haul of goodies. And it wasn't, you know, it didn't break the bank what they were able to, you know, buy. And the quote of the day had to go to my eldest daughter. I bought some little Street Sharks knockoff minifigures in Lego form from the guy that's always there. He's a big Star Wars fan and things. Mm. And he's got 5 to 10 tables or whatever of KO minifigures of everything you can imagine under the sun. And so I'm like, this time, yep, I know he had them. I'm going to go buy them. And he's like, look, Ben, you know, you're a really good, you know, person, and you've been buying off me for years.
Yeah.
If your kids want something, you know, come and see me. Say you're Ben, you're from the table down there. I'll give you a bit of discount. So I grabbed my both girls and I'm paraded up to the table and I said, right, pick something.
Do you know who I am?
And they didn't want anything. They're like, no. I want to go back to the 3D printer place and things. And they're like, oh, it's like, oh man, well, you know, I bought another Street Shark for myself. couldn't leave empty-handed.
Next time, can Jack go with you?
Of course,
because every time he goes past that table, it's every cow and sheep and goat and horse. And he came back with this fistful of these little. It cost me a pretty penny for what they were and the size of them. Like, he loved it though. Awesome. He still runs around with them.
And yeah, so we're walking back together with my oldest daughter, and we see the three-headed dog from, I think it's from Harry Potter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's his name?
Philosopher's Stone.
Fluffy.
And I'm like, oh, that's cool. And my daughter pulls out her wallet and she's like, oh, it's clearly marked $15 or whatever. Yeah. And I thought the size and things was, you know, I thought that was good value. A little bit of articulation in the arms and things. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. You know, I'm like, you know, she was ready to pay for it and things, just trying to get the seller's attention. And I said, sort of small talk, you know, I said, oh, you're going to put that on your desk, you know, just display it next to your computer and things. And she's like, oh, nah, I think I'll play with it. That's so cool. You know, I just, it was both me, you know, I need to buy that thing, and also, yeah, I'm going to have a lot of fun with it still.
Good.
Yeah, that was a quote of the day for me. It warmed my heart.
Yep.
Awesome. Yeah. I had my buddy Marty come join us, sort of helping out selling behind the table. So it gave me a bit more freedom than other times to actually a bit of a walk around myself. To your point, Ben, he's a big video game guy.
Yes, yes.
And so he initially, in that sort of first hour, once we got past the initial rush, he's like, oh, I might go do a lap. Yeah, that's fine. And he, as I said, I'd explained to him as a toy show. And so he'd sort of said to me, he goes, oh, yeah, I probably won't find much there. And I was like, I think you'll be surprised.
Yes, yep.
His first lap took nearly an hour, and he came back and I bought this and I bought that. And he's not a big spender, but so for him to buy even a couple of things is a big deal. And I'm like, so a bit more video game stuff than you anticipate? He's like, oh, yeah. Like, he goes, I'll be back next year. Like, yeah, you know, nice. He loved it.
And so he was a great help for everybody, just, you know, especially when we had to leave the table to do our hunting and things.
Yeah.
He was a keen eye for everyone. So,
yeah.
Much appreciated.
He actually learned a lot. He helped me price up at a you know, guy give me a box of the old G.I. Joe stuff. And he came around, I think, a couple of days before on like the Thursday, whatever. He's like, right, I'm going to learn about G.I. Joe. Frank, you read out the names, I'll Google them, we'll put a price on it. Like, and so he was just like, oh, this one's, oh, but this one's got the weapons, so it's worth a little bit more. Like, he was just really getting into the minutiae of preparing for a sale. So, yeah. Can we talk about the big green dinosaur in the room?
The elephant in the room? Is it that time already?
Yeah, latest scores.
All right. Holy Grail time. I did some wheeling and dealing, and finally the big green avocado himself, Shogun Warriors Godzilla, is in my possession.
1977.
Nice. So it's only the second oldest thing in the room tonight. Look, before the show even kicked off, the fair kicked off, I had already lined up and secured the purchase of this guy. Justin, who was the previous owner, he had him at previous toy fairs. Yes.
Yep. Well, Justin didn't really want to let it go. Well, in fact, the last one that I remember him bringing it to, he was like, when you were trying to negotiate, he was just like, look, I didn't even know if I wanted to bring it. I don't even know if I really want to sell it. Yeah. Was sort of the vibe I got.
100%.
I think it was a eye-catching showpiece to come and have a look at my table.
Yeah.
And Justin's really cool. He's the guy I bought the Micronauts off. And they are prized possessions still in my toy collection today.
He's got a great stock. He does. I do love his stock.
So I had it lined up. I knew he was going to have a table there. And Brett was the good guy.
He was
the middle guy. So he went over and buttered him up and sort of said, look, I know you want X, Y, Z for him, but do me a solid. Scotty's a good guy.
Yeah.
Do a little bit of discount. Can you do that? Yep. No problems. All good. So this is on Saturday during bump in.
Yeah.
As he's bringing his equipment in, he sort of says, he comes over to me and he says, look, I wasn't going to bring him, but Brett tells me you're ready to make the purchase. Shall I bring him? And I said, yeah, no problems, all good.
Well, sorry to cut you off, but how is that for an incentive to, hey, I don't know how I'm going to go tomorrow? You never know. You never know if you're going to sell, if anyone's, you don't know if the guy three tables down is going to have half price Marvel Legends versus you've got, you know, and things. So you
there
don't
is
know
element of risk.
How you're going to go. And then you've got this big sale already lined up as you're bringing your tubs in before you've even, you know, found your own table. it's a good – I think that is the prime time to, you know, get a better deal on something before you've even, you know, opened up your first lid to set up your table. So you've done it very well, yeah. Scott. Well done, yeah.
Yeah, so we did strike up a reasonable price.
Yep.
He came down from what he wanted at the last Toy Fair. Mm. Over the last 12 months that I've been wanting to acquire this figure, I've understood that I need to pay more than what I reasonably wanted to pay for it,
yep.
Especially in the condition that this guy is in as well. So right. I came up in price and handed over the money Sunday morning before the doors opened. We sort of spent 10 or 15 minutes, Justin and I, having a bit of a chat, and he told me about the history of this particular Godzilla. It is out of his own personal collection. I think he said he has had this for about 30 years.
Oh, wow. That's impressive.
He even had the original box that it came in as well, and he actually regrets having sold the box many, many years ago.
Individually, just an empty box.
On its own.
Wow. Yep. Yep. That's, yeah.
So out of his original, out of his own personal collection, this figure for 45 years old is immaculate. It's almost in mint condition.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Notoriously on this figure, the red trigger at the back of the head that allows the tongue to poke in and out is generally snapped off.
Yep.
In perfect condition. The firing fist, famously always missing.
Missing. Yeah,
it's gone.
Course.
It shoots off and disappears. Missile, yep. It's there. It's intact. It's held in place as well. And across his toes, he's got his toenails, his claws. They're in yellow. It's a brittle plastic.
Yeah.
And they are 100% intact, undamaged.
It looks immaculate.
It is. It looks like it's straight out of the box.
Yep.
So good.
I sat down on the Sunday morning to give him a good clean. Tuesday morning, because we had the public holiday on the Tuesday following.
Yep.
I sat down to give him a good clean because he had a bit of dust on him, so that's all good. I put on a YouTube video about the Shogun Warriors Godzilla, and I got to learn a little bit more about the product that I didn't know previously. And what I've worked out is that the model I've got here, this particular figure, is from the first wave.
Oh, right. Nice.
Wave one that was made in Japan.
Mm.
And all the other models, the five previous ones that came, were then made in the US.
Oh, oh right. Nice. There you go. So
this is an original production run version of the figure.
Well, that's even better.
How do you tell that? Is it?
So the color of the head.
Yep.
It is a different to the rest of the body and the firing fist as well. That's one key.
Right.
But it's actually printed on his foot.
Yep.
Made in Japan.
Okay. Oh, there you go. That's the clincher.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good.
He's beautiful.
Yep.
He is amazing. He's so
imposing.
Eye-catching, imposing.
Yep.
Yep.
I'd love to go back to whatever episode it was where we mentioned, you know, someone asked us about Holy Grail toys and you shouted this out. That would have been however long ago, and I'm sure you've given it many shout-outs along the way. So when you rolled in, you know, doors are 10 minutes away from opening, Scotty's walked over with that, holding it like a newborn baby, and we've all just stopped and just gone, what is that? And my mate Marty, again, not a toy guy, he's like, what? He didn't understand what the fuss is about. And I said, that's a $1,000 toy right there. And he goes, but it's old.
Exactly.
After I purchased him, we put him on the table behind so everyone could sort of see, and he drew a lot of attention.
I had a lot of people trying to buy him.
Yep.
Like, how much? You know, how much? I'm interested in the Godzilla you've got back there. Not for sale, mate. Not for sale, sorry. And I suppose as well, being on the glass, people were looking at him as they were standing there lining up, so they had a natural attraction to come over to inquire more about it. So well done though.
It's a question then: is he going to come to Brett's next Toy Fair and sit at the back as in the same way that Justin used him as a bit of a draw card
to catfish people into our table? Well, maybe. Just got to put a sign around his head. Not for sale. Mm.
Yeah. Someone else did that, didn't they? Do not touch.
What are you talking about?
Don't touch the Leo.
Is it? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
You should put a sign on your Leo saying
just
don't touch.
Have that sitting there. Yeah.
Very good. I didn't grab a lot of stuff, but I did grab a few bits of Star Wars that I was missing. Star Wars Black Series. Mm-hmm. Grabbed a few of those figures. Got a Jawa and Greedo. Oh, Greedo. They did Star Wars Black Series did the retro cards.
Yep.
But they did Kenner inspired color schemes on some of their figures.
Yeah, nice.
And vinyl cape Jawa and cloth goods cape Jawa. So this was, I think, the sock, more the cut up sock.
Yep.
Because I think famously that guy actually took his sock and cut it up when he was.
That's right. Yeah. That's the story, isn't
that's
it?
That's the story. Yeah. His old brown sock. So yeah, no, but it was good. Like I had a lot of fun looking around, and I did a couple. It was good because we had the coverage of the table. I could get around, check it out, and I had the kids there. As well, my brother came with his niece, my niece and nephew. So, it was good. It was a good, fun day. It's always, it's good. And I think we were reminiscing actually a little bit about sort of the genesis of this event. And I never went to the very first one that Brett put on, but Darren did go. It was somewhere up north.
Yep. It was sort of Westlakes area. It was in a tiny little hall, you know, just like a club hall type thing.
Yeah.
Okay. They had a little canteen there, and it was maybe 20 tables, if that, of sellers, a decent amount of comics and toys and a little bit of Lego, and that was it. I mean, nothing to shy by, but
we were doing this in our backyard. Yep. Like this was. Yeah,
we'd have similar events at you know, we had one at Trent's place, we've had one at my place. Like, yeah, we would go to and Ben's had one as well.
Yep.
So that was sort of the genesis. I mean, I love these days were great for catching up and chatting, but they weren't great for selling because your market was just the people that had tables. So it's like,
but also you've only got so much backyard space, and as people came in, if you weren't there dead on time, if you were 15, 20 minutes late, you got people setting up, in areas corner. That is like, oh, I'm not sure if that's an area.
I'm down
under
the
clothesline where they're hitting their heads and things. And, you know, it's just
down the side of the house.
And at one point in one of my shows, we had people thinking it was a garage sale and just mosing in.
Oh, right.
I remember
pretty
that.
Much saying, people, hey, you know,
people
this
just
is a private
walked in
event.
And we all froze and just went,
they just
who are
didn't
they?
Get it, like, you know, and they're like, oh, there's nothing here for me, like looking around and things. Yeah. It's like, well, we tried to tell you that.
A couple of old grandparents just sort of wandered in thinking it was a garage sale. Yeah. And you're like, I'm sorry, this is not what you think it is.
This is not open to the public. But then I think he had it in one of the schools there.
Yes.
And then it moved to the German club briefly.
Yep.
And then now it's this St. Clair is the event. But we were reminiscing back to those days where it was in the backyards and we'd catch up. And this is really what it's become. Like I saw, you know, Jimmy, Kyle was there with his wife. And it was just obviously the Hack the Dino guys and Ben Rosenthal and all. You know, it was just that kind of, you got your group and you're catching up with everyone and it's really, really nice. And I went out actually after Bumpin', I went out with the Hack the Dino guys for a dinner and it was really good. Floppy and
cool.
And Ben and stuff. And we, you know, just had a great sort of toy and video game chat.
Oh, good.
So just from that perspective, it's always, I think it gets, to me, it's just getting better every year. As the circle of friends sort of grows.
Definitely.
Oh, sweet. As for latest scores, I did fairly well in my opinion. I made more money than I bought, which is fantastic. It was my 100% aim, and that went well. One of the first things I bought was a Toxic Crusaders coloring in book. Like that was pretty cool. It's got a bit of colored in items in it, but hey, I just want it as a backdrop and things. Picked up that Bonehead Toxie from you. That was awesome. Loving that. I got an Extreme Dinosaurs, like a Spike, Triceratops. And the only reason I picked him up is it came with some of the weaponry. So he's got these two, you know, like claw weapons on his hand. So that came with that and a backpack. The weapons on these characters are just non-existent.
That's right.
Very cool.
Good to find.
As I called out before, I got three of the KO Street Sharks in Lego minifigure form, a couple of Terminators, a couple of Simpsons cards, thanks to Ben Rosenthal. So I'm getting closer to the Simpsons card set. Some of the Voltron characters. What are they called?
There's a Robeast, is there?
No.
The pilots?
The grey guys. Army builder guys. Yeah. Just so now I've got like six of them or something. Mm. Pretty cool. Got Blaster from Morgatron a couple of weeks ago.
The KSC.
Like Masterpiece version.
Yeah, Masterpiece and things. But he comes with nothing in his chest, obviously, because, you know, they never do.
Yeah.
And so I bought a G1 ram horn from you and it fits perfectly.
Brilliant. Like,
just covers that empty hole in his chest. And so that looks wicked. And I've got a few Dino Riders from the guy that was selling the Brontosaurus. Glenn Puck gave me got me a couple of stands, which are life saving. So thank you. And Steve Reddy gave me a world's smallest shredder, he sort of handed that to me. He was across the table from us. Got a famous shot. I just look up one at one stage, and he's eating out of an ice cream tub. Like he looked like he was just spooning out ice cream.
It's probably his lunch. He probably had a packed lunch in there, salad or something.
He had a salad lunch, but just. It just caught me unaware. Like, here he is across the table just spooning, you know, out of an ice cream. Oh, it was hilarious. he was a great sort of neighbor, table
Steve's
neighbor.
Great value. Yep.
And we had quite a bit of chats throughout the day. So,
nice.
Yes. Fantastic.
For myself, there was a couple of the big ones were a couple of Supergirl statues I was able to pick up. One is the Melissa Bonet sort of modern interpretation of her. Another one is very much more classic, sort of looks like Alex Ross type artwork, where she's just sort of, you know, like she just punched through a steel wall and flying straight up in the air. I've got a carded Supergirl from that's the Batman Superman crossover one from Ben. Which was great. Old mate Glenn sold me those little turtle stands and I'd bought a few of them to see to make sure that they work all right. And then I was like, in my head, I want the front row of all my turtles to have them. And he goes, oh, how many do you need? And I just went, how many's on a sheet? Oh, 24. Can I get like 60 odd? And his face was like, you need how many? And I was like, I'll send you photos, mate. Trust me. And I took some footage, actually put it up on someone tagged him in one of the international turtles groups. Hey, Glenn makes these amazing stands. I went, oh, you mean these ones? And just ran the camera horizontally down the whole shelf. And Glenn's like, mate, that's amazing. Like, so that was great to put those on there. He sold me one of the three-tier stands as well that I've been using for the classics over there. Really, the height just really makes such a difference on those things. Kai and Glenn were selling Transformers, and he put up a little sneaky preview. And I was like, oh, there's some MicroMasters in there. That might be a nice, small as possible footprint way for me to get back into G1. So they're up over there for now. I haven't quite worked out exactly where they'll go. There's Ground Shaker, Flat Top, and one of the racing track
teams.
So that was pretty cool. What else did I get? I think. That's most of it. I think knowing, as I said, even before we walked in the door, I'd made some sales. So the other thing I was able to buy with some of those money is the vintage Shredder-mobile from Ninja Turtles. That's circa like 93 or something like that. It's one of those really obscure old school vehicles. It comes with all the bits
like,
and
like
stuff.
Like a roadster or something.
Yeah, it's on design.
Oh, right up the top. I was looking at it before.
No, not at the top. It's that second shelf down there with all the bad guy vehicles.
Yes, it is.
So I've been able to rejig that and stuff. And and obviously sold an awful lot of Marvel Legends, not least of which was old mate Galactus to none other than Brett himself. You know, it's got to be some advantages to being the boss. And so he took great joy in me putting a little sold sticker on that. And much like Godzilla over here, there was a number of, how much? I'm like, can you read the sign? They're like, yeah, but how much did it sell for? Like, they just wanted to know the price sort of thing. So a very successful day, you know, had a few of those random interactions with kids who were like, oh, I want these, you know, five figures, but I've only got enough money for four. So they'd pick their four and I go, oh, look, here's a bonus pack in. Here's that fifth figure at that. And you know, the parents appreciate that and kid has a good day. Like, it's a win. So, yeah, good fun.
Brilliant. That's another good, successful show.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. I just want to shout out in rounding out, if you listen to Dave's video, Graveyard Dave is busy at the moment, so Casey's doing it solo. And in her words, after the trash talk that went on for the last episode, she wanted a more mature conversation. So she reached out to me, and said, "Hey, do you want to do a recording?" So we recorded South Park, bigger, longer, and uncut.
I'm sorry, did you say mature conversation?
Well, we tried. I wanted to make sure Casey was comfortable with the movie choice, and she's a huge South Park fan.
Nice.
And I knew that would go down a treat. So that was a fun episode coming out this today at the same time as this. So listen out for that. And hopefully Dave's back because Casey, you know, just a peek behind the closed doors, she's really missing him.
So, she'll never admit to that on air.
No, but... of course. No. So, yeah. So.
Outstanding.
Very good. Very special guest next week coming on the show. We will leave that one under wraps for a bit, but it's going to be a very interesting chat. So keep your ears to the ground for episode 310. Thanks, gentlemen, again for another great chat on toys and all those wonderful scores. Gee, I feel a bit jealous now. You guys are smashing it. I need to get some other grail item.
You need to sell all those golden compass toys, mate.
Yeah, I know.
And then you'll be rolling in it.
He comes out. I had these. I mean, this shows the extent of some of the collecting habits I had in the really dark era around mid 2000s. But
I've seen that thing on a screen. There's a figure of it. I'll buy it.
Yeah, that's right. Ben came up and goes, "Golden compass, man, you've got a problem."
I was like, "Where's the bear?" Because like, stuff
they
the
didn't
bear.
Do the bear.
Yeah.
You toned down the language for that one. All right. Fantastic. Take care, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning into another episode of Toy Power, and to all our patrons, thanks for your ongoing support and chatter on the Discord. Hope everyone stays safe and well, and we will see you around the toy aisles.
And until next time, good journey!
You can find the Toy Power team at all the usual online places. Facebook.com/ToyPowerPodcast. At Toy Power Podcast on both Twitter and Instagram. Or have your say and email us, toypowerpodcast@gmail.com. Subscribe to the show on both iTunes and Stitcher, and please leave us a review. Otherwise, we just assume we're awesome.